Welcome to the Deep Dive. We dig into complex topics so you don't have to, giving you the key insights you need. Today, we're looking at something pretty interesting, how the word unreasonable, usually a criticism, right, is actually being used as a real positive force. We're going deep into how a philosophy from, believe it or not, high-end restaurants is shaping a whole strategy for belonging and flourishing within a group of schools.
It's a fascinating link, isn't it? We're exploring this strategy document from the Stauer Federation. That's a multi-academy trust. Basically, a group of schools working together. And this isn't your typical admin document. It's much more, well, visionary. It's about cultivating genuine flourishing across their entire community.
Yeah, and the really surprising part is where the idea came from. Will Gadara's book, Unreasonable Hospitality, A Restaurant Philosophy for Schools, it sounds a bit odd at first.
It does. But, you know, when you think about that fundamental human need to belong, especially now with, well, more loneliness, more digital stuff.
Right. Less face-to-face.
Exactly. That connection starts to make a lot more sense. Right. This strategy is really trying to connect people, make them feel genuinely seen, valued.
So this idea of unreasonable, how does that actually play out? Gadara, he ran 11 Madison Park in New York.
That's the one. World-class place. And he argued it wasn't just the food. He kind of reinvented hospitality, pushed it beyond just good service, made it unreasonable by obsessing over how every single action made guests feel, creating this unforgettable sense of welcome.
Okay, so it's about the feeling. Gadara's big insight was you can't have great customer service if you don't have great leadership for your own team.
Precisely. The two are completely linked.
But applying that to schools, what's the big jump there? How does leading your staff will translate into, say, a nine-year-old flourishing?
Well, that's the leap the Stauer Federation made. The source material really emphasizes that these lessons aren't just for restaurants. They work in real estate, government, you name it, and schools. The insight is, if the best restaurant in the world gets there by focusing on feeling, why can't a school federation? So this idea of intentionally designing for that feeling, for that sense of belonging, that became the absolute core of their 2030 strategy. It's about emotion, not just, you know, test scores.
That's a really powerful idea. So they took this unreasonable hospitality concept. What does that look like as a goal for a school? What's the big picture, the vision?
Their vision, their North Star, as they call it, is crystal clear, flourishing. The Stauer Federation's 2030 vision is all about developing these inspirational schools. Yes, they equip kids for a tough world, but how they do it is key. They intentionally craft experiences so everyone, kids, staff, families, feels safe, feels valued, feels inspired. It really starts by asking, okay, what do we want people here to feel? And then you build everything, absolutely everything, around delivering that feeling.
And they connect this to Corey Keyes, the sociologist, his idea of flourishing being feeling good and functioning well.
Exactly. Keyes talks about these five vitamins for flourishing. Things like follow your purpose, learn something new, play, socialize, engage in spiritual practices. The Federation uses this great analogy, helping everyone grow like a healthy plant. You provide the right conditions, the right vitamins, so they can thrive. It's very holistic.
I like that. And it's not just about the kids, is it?
No, absolutely not. For children, yes, it's academics, but it's also fostering that love of learning, nurturing talents, and building what they call the six global competencies.
Which are?
Character, citizenship, collaboration, communication, creativity, and critical thinking. You know, the skills you actually need for life, not just exams.
Makes sense. And for the staff?
It's about creating a really supportive place where professional growth and well-being are genuinely prioritized, so staff feel they can do, and I quote, the best work of their lives.
And families, too.
Families, the wider community, building partnerships, being a source of hope, opportunity. It all ties together with that Zulu word they use, Ubuntu.
I am because you are.
Exactly. That powerful idea that, you know, we only truly flourish when we all flourish together. It's deeply interconnected.
And this whole vision, it's built on some core values.
Yes, the respect values. Mm-hmm. Relationships, excellence, service, passion, ethics, collaboration, and trust. They ground these values in ideas like life in all its fullness from the Gospel of John, but also concepts like servanthood and interdependence from other biblical texts. It's about seeing the inherent worth in everyone.
Okay, values provide the foundation. Then they have these four drivers. What are those about?
Yeah, the drivers, the force is creating the energy, the momentum. First is well-being and learning. The logic is simple, really.
Yeah.
Happy, healthy kids learn better.
Mm-hmm.
So well-being isn't an extra. It's woven right into their curriculum, which they aim to make exciting and evidence-based.
Makes sense. What's the next one?
Human intelligence and artificial intelligence. So they're definitely using tech to enhance learning. But, and this is crucial, they're emphasizing the uniquely human skills.
Like creativity, critical thinking.
Exactly. Collaboration, communication, things that AI can't replicate, things fostered by real human connection. It's about finding that balance.
And the third driver?
Equity, quality investments. This is their clear commitment to making sure every child gets what they need to succeed, whatever their background. It means actively putting resources where they're needed most to close gaps and ensure genuine equality of opportunity.
Important. And the last one.
Systemness. Sounds a bit jargony, maybe.
Well.
But the idea is powerful.
Right.
It's the belief that working together across the schools and the trust makes everyone stronger. Sharing expertise, supporting each other, continuous improvement as a collective. Stronger together, basically.
Okay, so values, drivers, that sets the stage. How do they actually implement this? What are the strategies on the ground?
Right, the doing part.
Mm-hmm.
Their people strategy is key. It's about intentionally building that positive culture. They focus on three things. People, attracting great staff, keeping them, looking after their well-being.
Makes sense.
Place, creating physical environments that are safe and inspiring. And processes, making sure decisions are clear, workloads are manageable. You know, the practical stuff that affects daily life.
And inclusion. How does that fit in?
Their inclusion strategy is vital. It's about making sure every single child, including those with SEND, isn't just included, but cruelly valued, celebrated for who they are. That means things like adaptable teaching, a genuinely collaborative environment, and ongoing training for staff so that inclusion is really embedded in the culture, not just a policy.
And the teaching itself.
That falls under their teaching, learning, and curriculum strategy. They're aiming high exceptional outcomes, achieved through a curriculum that's rigorous, knowledge-rich, but also taught using adaptive methods based on evidence. They mention a five-a-day approach sometimes.
Like quick daily practice.
Often, yeah. For reinforcing core skills or knowledge. Building strong foundations, transferable skills.
And you mentioned something called the Thrive approach.
Ah, yes. Thrive. This is really interesting. It draws on neuroscience. It's a structured way to proactively build resilience, help kids manage emotions, form positive relationships. It's quite unique because it offers a kind of personalized roadmap for each child's emotional development, addressing specific needs. It's very proactive about well-being for learning.
Got it. So lots of strategies. How do they make sure these actually happen and work well together? What enables all this?
Good question. They have several enablers. One is communities of practice, or COPs. These aren't just, you know, staff meetings. They're focus groups for deep collaboration, sharing what works, solving problems together, really accelerating learning across the trust.
Okay, what else?
Digital champions. These are staff members who get extra support to become really skilled with technology and AI in the classroom. They then act as leaders, mentors, supporting their colleagues. It builds that digital capability from within.
And I saw something about culture champions. That sounds different.
It really is. This initiative empowers regular classroom teachers and non-teaching staff, giving them a real voice in shaping the school culture. They provide feedback, offer diverse perspectives, and specifically champion staff well-being.
So it's not just leadership deciding the culture?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It makes it more authentic, more owned by everyone. It decentralizes that responsibility and influence, which is pretty smart.
And coaching.
Coaching underpins pretty much everything. It's not just training people what to do, it's empowering them to find their own solutions.
Clever.
Through skillful questioning, active listening, it builds reflective practice, trust. Hugely important for growth.
Right, so all these pieces need a system to run on, don't they? An operating system, if you like.
Precisely. And they use two very well-known, powerful frameworks for this. First, Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Ah, Covey, the classic.
Indeed. It's that inside-out idea. Effectiveness starts with yourself. For staff, it means things like taking responsibility, planning, prioritizing, you know.
Win-win. Seek first to understand.
All of those. Plus, synergizing, leveraging teamwork, and crucially, sharpening the saw, self-care. It fosters individual leadership.
And they use this with the kids, too.
Yes. Through the Leader in Me, or LIM, curriculum, it teaches children those same habits in age-appropriate ways. Taking initiative, setting goals, empathy, teamwork, looking after themselves, developing life skills early on.
Okay, that's one framework. What's the other?
The 4 Disciplines of Execution, or 4DX. This is all about bridging that gap between having a strategy and actually getting it done. The execution gap, they call it.
How does 4DX make it happen?
It's very structured. Mm-hmm. Discipline 1, focus on the wildly important. Choose just 1 or 2 goals. WIGs, they call them. They'll make the biggest difference to achieving that North Star, flourishing. laser focus.
So not trying to do everything at once.
Exactly. Cut through the whirlwind of daily tasks. Discipline 2. Act on the lead measures. These are the predictive, influenceable actions that drive success on the WIGS. It's the how. What activities will get us there? Things the team can actually control week by week.
Makes sense. What's next?
Discipline 3. Keep a compelling scoreboard. Simple, visible, designed by the team. It tracks the WIG and the lead measures. Everyone can see if they're winning or losing together. Keeps it engaging.
And the last one?
Discipline 4. Create a cadence of accountability. This means regular, short, focused team sessions, often weekly. They review the scoreboard, celebrate wins, figure out what worked or didn't, and make commitments for the next week. It builds momentum and mutual support.
It sounds very practical, very action-oriented.
It is. And crucially, this isn't just talk. They have key metrics backing all this up. They measure staff well-being, things like vacancies, attendance, leadership impact, WIG achievement, education outcomes, teaching quality, results, pupil well-being, plus governance, finance, safety. It shows a real commitment to seeing if this ambitious strategy actually delivers measurable results.
Wow. So wrapping this up, what we've seen is this incredibly holistic, very human approach to education, sparked by this, well, unreasonable idea from hospitality, but focused squarely on flourishing, on belonging for everyone involved.
Absolutely. And, you know, the core ideas here, deliberate kindness, focusing on how things feel, having clear goals and ways to track them, working together.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't just for schools.
No, you can see the relevance anywhere, really. In business, in community groups, even just in our own lives.
Definitely. These principles are pretty universal when it comes to helping people thrive.
So that brings us to our final thought for you, the listener, reflecting on all this. What's one unreasonable act of hospitality, one small thing focused on making someone feel truly welcome or valued that you could bring into your world this week? Whether it's at work, with your family, out in your community, how could you help foster just a little bit more flourishing for yourself and for the people around you?